Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we present this special study by our own teaching elder, John Alba. The message is titled, The Spiritual Ruler of Eight Crowns. And as regular listeners to BBFOhioRadio.com will know, you can hear Brother John's previous teaching there and find it at BBFOhio.com. But you will also see that he has a personal ministry website at needhope.org. That's needhope.org. So we encourage you to make use of that site for biblical and spiritual material as well. And that material is produced by Brother John. If you have any questions or comments and you would like to direct them to Brother John, you can send them to Bible Believers Fellowship, attention John A. or John Alba, A-L-B-A-U-G-H, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Address your letter to the attention of Brother John, and we will hand it right to him. Bible Believers Fellowship, attention John A. or John Alba, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now, with no further delay, we begin part one of the message titled, The Spiritual Ruler of Eight Crowns.
Okay, we're going to try to perform a miracle here today. We have 9 hours of sermon. We're going to try to condense it to about 45 minutes, okay? Now, this is called The Spiritual Ruler of Eight Crowns. Eight. I had it down to seven and found one more, which I thought was obvious, but it's okay. What we have here is a picture of Revelation chapter 4. Someday, every single one of us is going to find the end of our journey before the throne of Christ. Here's where we're going to end up here. When you study the New Testament, Paul talks about five crowns, five of them, that the believer, which is us, I don't want to use the word earn because it sounds like we work for it. But it's like five steps of grace. They're all connected in series. You just don't pick one crown and say, I'll just go for this or I'll go for that. There's a spiritual significance in the order of them. Originally, when I started this, I wasn't going to teach it until I told the Lord. I said, Lord, there's just no one will believe me if I believe my word if I tell them this is the order in which they go in. And so, believe it or not, the Lord, so we'll turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, and all the crowns are listed right in spiritual order. It's just the way it works out. So I have confidence from the Lord that what I'm sharing with you is right on target, right on the nose. So our text today is 2 Peter chapter 1. We don't have time to read all 21 verses, but you guys have the notes there, and in the notes, every single crown has a scripture verse to it, so in your own free time, you can take a look and see where those scripture verses are located at. We'll hit the ones that, as the Lord leads on those. There are a total of eight crowns. I did not put the crown on top of this one, but in the drawings I have one there. But the crown is there. You can see it in our first picture here. And so we start with the first crown here. The second crown is over here. Third crown. And here's the other five crowns, that's for the believer. And so, when you study on how God arranges that all together, this is what we come up with. The spiritual ruler of eight crowns. Now, the title itself is a dual title. Spiritual ruler, well, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the ruler. And when we go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, he says, all power, is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power. We don't have to look to anybody else today for that power. It's in his hands. He has all the power. There's nothing else left to anybody else. If there's any power, it's all here. And normally when they teach the Great Commission, they leave that part of the verse out. They just go with verse 19, go ye. Well, you can't go until you have the power. And when you go to the last chapter of Luke, the Lord says, you don't go anywhere until you get the power. And then I'm going to send you somewhere. The power is used to help other people to come to know not only Christ, but to live a godly life in him. And the thing I wanted to share with you today, the other second aspect on spiritual ruler, this is also like you got like a ruler, a 12-inch ruler, use the 12-inch ruler, or got a 36-inch ruler, use it to measure, check things out. This is a spiritual ruler dealing with spiritual growth. Where is your spiritual growth at? And we can go through these eight crowns, and we can show you through the eight crowns where your spiritual life is at. We're talking all 8 billion people. This is the ruler of how God judges every single thing on this planet. You can study any subject with this ruler. It's complete. You can hit any subject because it'll follow somewhere in these areas. The big thing we want to know on the spiritual crowns, God does everything through His book, through His Word. And we have in our hands today the complete Word of God, right here. And in this group here, you don't have to guess whether it's the NIV or ESV or those other silly nonsense things that are running around. We know the Word of God. We have a copy of it right here. And if Christ says all power is given to Him, well, here's the book with all the power. Amen. This thing has put up governments, and it topples governments. Amen. In fact, if you want to have some fun, when the King James Bible first came out, if you was in England, what they called nobility, you know, king, queen, then the titles go down about sevenfold down there. You spoke French. If you was in Parliament, you spoke French. House of Commons, whatever they call it, you spoke French. This book came along and kicked it all out.
That's right.
This book is that powerful, it can change an entire language. It can change everything. This book is the final authority on any subject you want to talk about. And even the ones that are obscure, you know how to study this book, you can find out what the answers are. But Christ is not only the spiritual ruler, this is the groundwork for the spiritual life for the believer. Now, I have to share this with you. Our country is crying out for revival. Anywhere you look, whether it's the radio preachers or the TV preachers, oh, we need revival. You talk to the common Christian, we need revival in our country because we see a certain doom coming. It's coming, it's at the doorsteps. Well, guys, this is the only book that can bring the revival. The last national revival in the United States was under Billy Sunday. Mm-hmm. They asked him, well, which book are you using? He goes, I'm sticking with the King James. There have been no other revivals in American history since then. This was the last one to bring revival. Now, I always like to tell people, as far as to encourage believers, King David never lost a battle. Not one time did he ever go into battle and lose that battle. And you're going to see on some of the crowns here, it talks about fighting, going into a fight, because we're going against the lust nature of every single person on this planet. This book here, David never lost a battle. Why? Because he never had a plan. He never had a single plan. Whenever the enemy would come, he'd say, okay, God, what is your plan? What is your plan to knock off the enemy? And the Lord would go ahead and show David, here's the plan to defeat the enemy. He used that plan every single time and won every single time he went into battle. How would you like to go to war knowing that you're not going to lose ever? That's a great feeling. We're following this guy and we're never going to lose. That's the incredible power of the Word of God here. If I was to show you God's battle plan for taking over Worthington, taking over Columbus, Ohio, taking over the state of Ohio, taking over the United States, this is the battle plan. God has never changed his mind about it. This is what God would use. This is what God has used down through American history and world history for victory every single time, this plan that we're going to show you here. And part of our text comes out of Acts 10:36. Jesus Christ, what? He is Lord of all. There's not a single person you're not ever going to come across, and he's not their Lord over them. Even though they may not be acting right, thinking right, talking right, they're going to meet him someday, and they're going to fall down on their feet and on their knees and declare that he's Lord.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is Lord to his glory. Now, this here's another picture of this one right over here. And I have to share this with you. You have reached your destination. We were dog-tired traveling from Nova Scotia coming to the state of Maine. It is getting dark. A lot of times when we plan a trip, we don't plan the motel or hotel. we trust the Lord to provide for us. Now, if you're not like that, it's okay. But we trust the Lord. So I found a motel in Bangor, Maine, and $77 tax included for four adults. I think that's a great deal. All right, so we type it into TomTom, and we're going down the road, and we're looking for Hammond Street. And so we find Hammond Street. And Jill said, well, turn right. So we turn right. We're going down a dirt road, trees on both sides, and the car stops. We're in front of a graveyard. And TomTom says, you've reached your destination. I said, this is not the motel. Sorry. That's not it. But for every one of us, that is going to be our destination today, is the throne of Christ. Amen. Romans 14:10. For we shall all, talking believers now, all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Mm-hmm. And the word judgment here is not the idea of being judged for our sins because that was done at the cross. It's a reward seat. Well, did you follow? Did you do what I asked you to do? Which, he already knows whether we're obeying him or not. All right? All. So everyone in this room, we're all going to be here someday standing before his throne. Which is different. See the word stand? At the great white throne, they're not standing. They're flat there crying for mercy at that point, which is too late. Revelation 4:10-11 is the other text. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne. Amen. He's a king. And cast their crowns before the throne. And that's what this is a picture of, casting the crowns. Crown, he is Lord. I didn't get this because of my good works. I didn't do it because I, good looks or what else you would put in there, or by birth or by blood. I got it because he was Lord of my life, and I obeyed him. Now, our context again is 2 Peter 1 through verse 21. We don't have time to do all that, but take a look here. First thing that we want to notice here, Simon Peter, a servant. A servant. You got that? If you have a King James Bible, it's servant. It's not slave. Never will be slave. If you're playing with a phony Bible, you'll have the word slave. And if you have the word slave there, you got a Roman Catholic Bible, and you're following Rome. That's all I can tell you. And you're going to get Rome's reward if you're going to follow Rome. A servant. Now notice this. And an apostle. He doesn't say, I'm an apostle and I'm a servant. You go almost into any church, unfortunately, especially Baptist churches, they're apostles first and then they're servants. Right. Look at my title. Since I have this title, hey, move. Oh, hey, you do this, you do that. Wrong concept of the Christian church. Amen. Peter says, I'm a servant. Amen. He finally got it at the end of his life. I'm a servant. Amen. An apostle of Jesus Christ to them. Well, that brings us in. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, every couple of weeks I tell my family these two verses. The two most important scriptures for all Christians. Two. If you get these two down, you get everything else down. John 12:26. Christ says, where I am, there shall also my servant be. Amen. What? My servant. Now, are you in the presence of the Lord today? He's calling your name. Are you serving him? Do you know how you're serving him? Do you know how he's talking to your heart? I'm not in charge. Pastor Miller's not in charge. Christ is in your heart, talking to you, asking you to serve. You don't have to do 100 things, whatever. He's talking to you personally and saying, here's what I'd like to have you do. Talking to you personally because we'll have to give an account for it someday. All right? There was a guy that was on the pier in Halifax. And clear as a bell, I knew I should have given the guy a track. All right? But my family was way over here going to Cal's for ice cream. Okay? I was lagging behind. And I did not give the guy a track. So you know what? All I can do is pray for that guy. He was a young guy. And it seemed like every trip I take, there's always one or two people that I know I'm supposed to give a track to and I don't. All right, I'm held accountable for it. So I'm praying for the guy. Now, the chance of another Christian coming in are slim because there's not that many running around giving out tracts or talking or witnessing. I have to pray that anyway. And I have to trust the Lord that maybe that somehow this guy will come to know the Lord. There's other people I gave a tract to or tried to, and they'd say, no, I got my own way. Didn't want to talk about it. Got my own beliefs. Another guy was atheist. He didn't had nothing to do with it. I can't help those out. But this guy, I could have given a tract to. I could have ran over and handed him one. So, where I am, there shall also my servant be. All right? The second verse is Matthew 25, 21. Well done, the good and faithful servant. Faithful servant. It's not what the church calls you to do. It's what Christ himself is talking inside you, what he's asking you to do. All right? That's between you and him. And I don't know what the Lord's talking to you guys. If you ever want to fellowship sometime and chat, there's all sorts of different ways to serve the Lord. But those are the two most important scriptures you'll ever come across. And the word servant is found there. And Peter was definitely a servant. First crown we're talking about here is the crown of sovereignty. And that's why I would have put the crown right above here. Now, I don't know a whole lot about how Calvinism teaches sovereignty, but every time you hear the word sovereignty, people go, oh, Calvinism. Well, we're not talking about that today. Okay? That has nothing to do with it. I looked up the definition for sovereignty. It means supreme power and authority. Mm-hmm. Supreme power and authority. So that's pretty easy to break down. Verse 28, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Well, how about that, supreme power? All right? He's a king. Matthew 7, 28, 29. He taught them as one having authority. And the rest of the verse says, and not as the scribes. The scribes were probably ripping and tearing their words apart. And we got plenty of scribes in the United States. When you talk about one subject, somebody comes in with their viewpoint and they rip and shred and they just tear it apart. He taught as authority. Why? Someday we're going to meet that authority face to face. And if he's our authority down here, we'll have no problem with this being the authority up here. Now, our Lord oversees three kingdoms. And this is not hard at all to figure it out. The kingdom of Satan. You know that? He's Lord over the kingdom of Satan. Satan can't do a single thing at all unless the Lord Jesus Christ allows him to do it. Amen. And we go to Job chapter 1 and 2. He couldn't touch Job for nothing. Not one time could he touch him unless God gave him permission to do it. Amen. Now, real quick for you. The key to Job, the book of Job is found in the last chapter, verse 42. We've already gone through 41 chapters, and Job is in captivity. Lost his family, lost his wealth, lost this, lost that, lost the whole works. Look for the verse in chapter 42. It says, and when he prayed for his friends. He's got three friends that's arguing and fighting for the other chapters. And when he prayed for his friends, the captivity was overturned. If he hadn't prayed for his three friends, they would have died and went to hell, and he still would have been a captive. Notice the heart of God. God was concerned about his three friends. That's the big thing you want to pull away from the book of Job. Now, I put the note in here for Matthew 4, 8 through 11, when Christ is being tempted. What does the devil try to do? He tries giving his kingdoms to Jesus. If you just bow down and worship me, I got all these kingdoms for you. Yeah. And if you want to read between the lines, Satan, I don't have to do that. I'm going to the cross, and I'm coming back Revelation 19, and they're all going to be mine anyway. You know, keep that as a lesson for your own life. Whatever you need in life to make for success, for happiness, we don't need to get it from Satan. We just need to trust the Lord. And it's okay to wait an extra year, if it takes a year, another 2 or 3 years. Because when God gives it to you, there's peace, joy, and happiness. You're not going to lose it. Amen. The devil's apples all have worms in them. Yes. All right? He'll knock you off faster than anything. The other kingdom is the kingdom of God. Romans 14, 17 says, where's the kingdom of God? It's the Holy Spirit indwelling you and me. That's the kingdom of God. Nail that one down. And the other kingdom is called the kingdom of heaven, Revelation 11, verse 15. That's the political kingdom. And when he comes back, all these kingdoms come under his banner. They'll have no say-so about it because he's the king. And Ecclesiastes, therefore, just says about where the word of the king is, there's power.
Amen.
And who's going to tell him, you can't do that? Amen. You're not going to. So that's what that verse has to deal with there. So that's what this is, the sovereign kingdom He runs three kingdoms. And we don't need to go any further than that. Now, I will say this as far as the power. Is he totally unlimited power? I have to tell you that he's not going to change the word that he just wrote. All right? He's not going to force anybody to get saved who doesn't want to get saved. His power is not there. There's all sorts of crazy things people come up with. He's not going to lie. The word of God says he can't lie. So he's not going to use his power to tell lies. And you've got some stuff in the notes to share just some of the thoughts that I had on there. Okay. 2 Peter, verses 1, 3 through 4. According as his divine power. There, we're dealing with the sovereign power. Hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. All right? His divine power produces his divine nature. If we have his divine power running us through the Holy Spirit, we can have the divine nature, the divine, be partakers. The Word of God in here, just for the believer, I think the number 7,487 promises made to the believer. That's you and me. Satan has a couple of promises for him. I don't think he'll like it, but that's the way it goes, okay? There's some promises made to angels. There are promises made to Israel. But there's a lot there. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. What? All power is from him.
That's right.
You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Whew. So every one of us has the power here today. If you're saved and trust the Lord, you've got the power of Christ in you. John 1:12, as many as receive him, the sovereign, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. See what that power does? It gives us identity in the family. And I've had enough arguments with the other group saying, oh no, John, you're a slave. Well, buddy, I'm sticking with this verse. I'm a son of God.
Hallelujah.
And I'm going to stick to it. He's my father, and that slave stuff can go out in the garbage.
Amen.
Well, there's no need for it here. Okay, second crown. Crown of pride. You need to go to Isaiah 28, verses 1 through 4 when you have time there. That talks about the crown of pride. 2 Peter 1 through 4. Whereby are given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Got that? Where does corruption come from? Lust. You want to talk about any of the different governments or agencies? You want to talk about people or churches going bad? Well, that's where it goes bad at, lust. 1 John, verses 2 through 16 tells us, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, it's the Trinity, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that's lust, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Pride is part of the lust nature. And 1 Peter 5:5, God resists the proud. Every single time. He's not buying down them for not one single time. Let's see. Pride defined. A corrupt sense of personal value, status, and accomplishments. All right? In other words, you can't live without me because look how great I am. And now you get into the battles. Satan is, and this is in Job 41:34, a king over all the children of pride. If you're unsaved today, you're under pride.
Amen.
All right? When I was reading through, I think it was Deuteronomy, I realized before the Lord in Deuteronomy chapter 8 that God considered all the Jews under pride until they would bow the knee to him. They were all proud. That's why the manna, if you gathered manna up, you know how you had to gather it? On your knees. You had to bow down. Picture the Word of God. And when you and I are willing to bow down before this book, this is our manna, we'll be fed scrumptiously. Okay. Pride rejects God's Word. They have rejected the Word of the Lord. Jeremiah 8:9. Jeremiah never had any fruit as far as in his time frame because they rejected the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Pride rejects God's love. Paul's writing to the Corinthians, the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. And that probably should be Pastor Miller's favorite verse. We love you enough to tell you the truth.
Amen.
But hold back the rocks, please. Okay? That's what happens. And pride also rejects Christ's lordship. We will not have this man to reign over us. Luke 19:14. They don't want him to reign. And Psalm 2 talks about the kings of the earth cutting the cords. And that's what they're doing right now all around the world. They're cutting all the cords that lead to Christ. Pride is Satan's family.
Amen.
If you're unsaved today, you're part of his family. John 8:44, ye of your father, the devil, and the lust ye will do.
Right.
And this is how the world views Satan. Nice blonde-haired guy, big smile. He's an angel of light, and he's leading them to a pit of darkness.
Amen.
Okay, and that's what the crown of pride leads everyone right into hell, including Satan himself. Right here. That is the second crown. Now quickly, third crown, the crown of thorns. Okay, when you go into 2 Peter 1:5, you see the word faith. Okay, how do we get saved? We get saved through faith. Not our faith, we get saved through the faith of Christ. Ephesians 2:8, 9 through 10, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God. So faith is God's, and he gives it to you, and that's how you get saved. And how you enjoy it is when that faith becomes your faith. He's not only a lamb, he's not just the lamb, he's now my lamb. He's my savior. He's saving me. And that's what has to happen. Galatians 2:20, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Again, he loved me. Grace defined. God given us his desire and his power to repent from sin so that we can conform into the image of Jesus Christ. That's what the real definition of grace is. And you can have a whole lot of fun with that. But Romans 8, 28-29, and 2 Timothy there reveals the same thing. Galatians 5:6, one of my favorite verses. Faith which worketh by love. If your faith isn't working today, that's because the love, there's something wrong with the love. And what happens when we come to Christ and he cleanses our heart from totally from sin? That's where the love appears.
Amen.
1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
And we know it because the heart is now clean from sin. Our faith is grounded in God's word, God's blood, and God's son.
Hallelujah.
That's how it works out. The crown of thorns, Matthew 27:29, they put a crown of thorns on his head. And the crown of thorns is humility. The crown of humility. The Bible says he humbled himself so that you and I could be saved from our own pride.
Amen.
Incredible stuff there.
Amen.
Okay, next one is the incorruptible crown. And this is the start of the five crowns that come down here. They're connected in series. And I hope the Lord will give you an understanding of how that works out. That's the verse for that crown, so you can find it in the notes. 1 Peter 1:5, virtue, knowledge. If we go back before, it says, add to your faith, virtue. Very first thing after you get saved, you add virtue. That's the key right there. Now here's our warning. Knowledge added to faith breeds pride.
Yep.
So when you run across these Christians that have a ton of Bible knowledge, but they're proud, they're arrogant, there's something missing, pal. Virtue. Now, the way I was taught virtue in the earlier days that I was saved, it was those ruling people in the church that never sinned. Okay? Sorry. I don't buy that anymore. Because they didn't fellowship with me. They wouldn't let me fellowship with them. And 1 John 1:7 said, if we have fellowship one with another, it's through the blood of Christ. The blood was missing. That's why there was no fellowship. Virtue.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.